You are listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast, episode 27. And today I'm hosting an on-the-air coaching session to tackle a really common block and obstacle that a lot of entrepreneurs face. And that is the triggers that come up that derail us when we're dealing with other human beings. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hi, and welcome everyone to Amplify Your Success podcast. I feel so fortunate today to have this really amazing person joining me for an on-air coaching session. Her name is Christy Stone, and we are going to be talking about something that, oh my gosh, it comes up for everybody. Every single person I know on this planet deals with something like this at some point in time, and that's our triggers. And if you're not familiar with what a trigger is when someone else is doing something that triggers inside of us some kind of feeling that's not real pleasant, like anger or shame or fear or sadness. And I think we can all imagine that even in our families of origin, we're going to have triggers. But when it comes to working with partners and when we start running a team and even with our clients and the people that we work with in all kinds of ways, a trigger can come up and really derail us. And sometimes we don't even know it. So Christy and I were having this beautiful conversation at an event we were at, and we decided that it would really serve people on a greater scale if we just went a little bit deeper into triggers and maybe even supported her in one of the triggers. And I'm going to teach her my process that I use in all of my different coaching programs to recognize when a trigger is derailing you and then what to do with it. So Christy, thanks so much for being willing to have the courage to jump in and share something that I know it feels a little private, but it's also, gosh, we're all humans. We all have it, right?
Yes, we are. And thank you for inviting me. It is a private thing, and it is an important topic because it happens all the time. And myself, I allow it to bring me down, and I really want to get to the core of this. It's really important to me. So thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Well, I always feel so honored when somebody's willing to share and kind of peel back the curtains a little bit, because I think it's a real sign of a powerful leader who's willing to share something that they're working through to achieve another level of mastery. So congratulations for being at that space in your life. So maybe we could just give a tiny bit of background, whatever level you're comfortable with, about who you are and what you're up to in the world.
Well, I've been in the creative field for many years, 30 years, and I'm in the process of building a creative movement and taking on being muse and really encouraging and empowering people to access their own muse. Mm. The project is huge. And I really have to get to the core of muse and really being that for others and encouraging that in others. And so when I got triggered, I realized that this was really a piece of the puzzle that I needed to work on. So I look forward to your questions that come up.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so my goal here, first of all, is supporting you in really recognizing where those triggers are coming from and how to heal them, and also to share a process that not only will support you, but anyone who's dealing with triggers. I found this to be in my own journey. I am also a recovering trigger happy person. We'll just put that out there. I'll own it. I spent many, many years being massively triggered. And what I personally discovered, which was why I found this topic so fascinating and so powerful to share with you, is that when we allow our triggers to rule us, it can oftentimes suck the life force out of our big vision. And depending on how our triggers are showing up, some people were triggered by our family or our spouse or, someone close to us. And sometimes we're triggered by what's happening around us with our colleagues. And, we start to get into judgment. And if we're not aware of our triggers and take ownership of moving through them, we can actually hold ourselves back from fully stepping into our vision. That's my own experience.
Oh, and it's what happened is it happened, and I was going gangbusters. I was really excited about what we were talking about, and the and then it happened, and I just lost all control of me. It was like, whoa, what happened? I didn't understand it, and it was like I went down to their vibrational level, and I didn't know how to separate myself from them. I got sucked into it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, that's really common, right? So when we're triggered, maybe you can share a little bit more about your experience, but I'll share what happens for me. Mm-hmm. And what I know happens for my clients is you get this situation or an event or a conversation that happens, and all of a sudden you're activated. And so you may experience a flare of anger. I know that's one of the signs I'm triggered, is I'm mm-hmm. flaring angry. Your brain function stops doing its normal program, right? So you may be positive and kind, and all of a sudden you've turned into this ferocious being, or you freeze. So I find it's either the flight, freezing or running away from a situation, or fight. It's like your anger's up and you lean into, or you leap into the situation and start to fight with the other person. So those are two signs that for me, I've been triggered. Do you have one that is kind of your go-to response?
Well, that's funny because I had both, you know, I really did. I had, I just wanted to get into a debate about it. And then it was like, no, ew, I just want to get away from it. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of both.
Yes. So here's my experience around triggers. I want to just lay some more foundation before we get into your specific situation. Uh-huh. In my experience, a trigger is activated because we've hit a wound from childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's a limiting belief, or a limitation of the way we think we're supposed to be in the world. And somehow we're being given a message about the way we are that is not helpful.
Right.
And so oftentimes it kind of helps to know when that reaction happens, that this really isn't about the moment. We've actually activated a wound that probably never got resolved in childhood, that is defining the reality of who we think we can be. Mm-hmm. Is that sounding about right for you?
Yeah, I think when we talked there, I think we got down to a little bit of it, which could have been some of my family, being five of six children, it was always, my voice really didn't matter. Mm. So what I, it just was everybody else, and my voice didn't really matter. And so, I think it probably triggered some of that. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's, I don't know. I'm still a little bit at a loss why it happened.
So can you give us just a little bit of context for the trigger that came up that really tends to derail you the most?
Well, this one was where, and I'm going to say it's been a theme for the past 6 months, where somebody acts like a bully to me. And, I'm it's like a protection mode. It's like, no, you're not going to do that to me. Walk away. But it's a lot of anger in the process too. And it's like, and it just totally sucks me of all my positive energy. I am very positive and I'm going to say happy go lucky kind of person. And to have my life force sucked out, it's, disheartening. And so anyways, I think it has something to do with maybe being bullied. Just recently realized that one of my sisters is a bully. I always used other words for it, but she's really a bully. And I have recently separated myself from her, and it has been a wonderful thing. It's just cleared up a lot of bad juju, but I still get triggered, as I did this past week, from those types of bullying situations. Right. I don't know if it released it, and the next time it happens, I'll now know what it is, but I didn't in the moment. You know, it happened and I didn't know what to do. I knew maybe an hour later as I was talking about it, oh, that's what happened and that's what I can do. But I didn't know it in the midst of it.
Right. So first of all, bullying is a significantly painful experience for the person who's receiving it. But it, but I also know that the bully themselves is in a lot of pain, right? Like that's the trigger for them is there's something that's happening that they feel like they need to control. Not that excuses the behavior, but that's just for awareness, what I notice happens. And it's a strategy they learned that got them what they needed when they were in pain at some point in their life. So I want to use my process to go into this for a minute, because what we want is to support anyone who's triggered, who either freezes or fights, right? Like whatever the response is, we want to have a better resource to use when we're there. Because what happens when your energy gets drained is you are actually, you've given your power away. And that's what feels bad, because you feel like you lost your own power, your own sense of self. And so that's what we want to resolve. And what I notice on the other side of this is two things happen. One, we just don't get activated by this trigger anymore, which is, yay, ideal. But secondly, we can actually heal relationships. Because when we know how to shift the trigger and we don't react the same and we follow this process I'm about ready to show you, you actually can heal relationships that used to be miserable to be around. And I've actually done that several times over. And it can, you can shift team dynamics. It can shift intimate relationships. It can shift familial issues, you know, like you're talking about with your sister, where there's been so much damage that you can't really feel close to that person. You can completely resolve it. So you ready to get into it?
That would be so amazing. Yes, okay. I'm definitely ready.
So we've talked about the two clues. First of all, you're either reactive and you're angry and you're jumping in and fighting for being right or to be heard in your case, or you're in a place where you've retreated and you're moving away for protection, both of which are totally normal. So what I would like to do for a minute, Christy, is just really claim what would be an ideal outcome? Like what would you like to have happen when you get triggered like that?
Well, my first reaction was I would like to have an adult conversation and talk about it without either of us being triggered. Just really how that's important to you and let's have a conversation about it. That's what I ideally would like to have is a conversation.
Okay, so I'm going to hold that for a second, and that may shift as we move through this process, okay? And by the way, that makes perfect sense. When your wound is, I'm not being heard. Because in an adult conversation, you would feel heard, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so for context in the bigger picture, as we move through this process, one of the things that I always like to tell my clients, and I always have to remember myself, is you may or may not get that, but would it be okay if you got to a place where you didn't need that and you could still feel okay about the situation?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, yeah. Good. So I call this my three-phase approach of breaking the trigger. And the first level of it is to look at when you're triggered and that situation rears up and you're having your reaction, what is it that you made it mean? So, you know, in the case we were just talking about, what did you make that event mean about you and your who you are?
That what I have to say doesn't matter.
Yeah. That I'm not important.
Yeah, I'm not important.
Yeah, and that, you know, you don't see me, you don't value me, you know, all of that, those layers that would have gotten set in stone as a young child who felt, you know, that they weren't being heard.
Yeah.
So step one then would be, when we recognize that, is there a different meaning you could have given that situation that would have felt better to you?
Well, I think I also did get that she was off. Obviously needed to be heard too. But somehow I put it, I must have mixed them both up in there. And yeah, I don't know what else I would have. No, I don't know what else.
Good. And I just wanted to hear what would come up for you first. Yeah. So from my perspective, because I was not in the situation, not feeling triggered, I could see that you might go, okay, I'm triggered right now. This is my need to be heard. And the truth of the matter is, I actually don't need to be heard by her. But I'm recognizing right now that I need to be heard. and I'm not feeling that. So just eat. It's like a little bit of self-soothing and self-recognition. It's like, yeah, my need to be heard is up right now, but I'm not getting it from this person, and that would be crazy making to expect it. So I'm just, you know, I'm going to disconnect and go get my need met somewhere else.
So this person hijacked the conversation with
right.
a group of people.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah.
So let's play a little different scenario. So, and by the way, I'm dropping back into our conversation, remembering the exact situation that you shared with me, wanting you to say what you're comfortable with. But so that would be one scenario. When somebody's hijacking a group conversation, a second possibility, and I think we explored this a little bit, would be just standing in your space of groundedness and saying, I understand you want to go in a different direction with this group process. Mm-hmm. I really want the group process. So whoever at the table wants to have the group process, why don't we move over here and do that? So she can have her experience,
right.
and you get to have yours.
Yeah. So isn't that still kind of wanting to be heard, though? So
it's yes.
Yeah.
But it's also making, really honoring your need. And it's okay to honor your need. In my opinion, it's okay to honor your need as long as you're not taking from anyone else.
Right.
Okay. And by saying, I totally get this feels important to you, but right. I really want to do the process. So right. does anybody else feel that? Or get up and go to a different table
right.
and join a different group, right? So yeah. that's not letting your power get sucked out of you.
Right.
And saying, yeah, I'm not doing this dance. I'm going to go do what I want to do in another group.
Yeah. I continue to just try to understand her and tried to give her energy, you know, mm-hmm. as a muse, I was trying to understand her. I was trying to get to the bottom of why she was doing what she was doing.
Yeah.
And
well, and so here's an interesting inquiry, and it may not be something we explore today, but it's an inquiry in like really keeping ourselves grounded is, where do you sacrifice your own needs for the muse for others?
Yeah. Yeah.
And really like digging deeper into the dance of where we don't take care of ourselves
yeah.
because we are so used to giving to others in order to get our needs met. So I would fantasize in my own mind right now that you as a child may have had to keep giving to others in order to be okay. Like you never got to have your needs met. So you just had to keep giving to others and be their muse to eventually get what you needed.
That's possible. I haven't thought of it that way.
Yeah. So again, just recognizing the dance is the breakthrough.
Yep.
And deciding, I want to have this experience and I can be okay getting my experience without sucking into someone else's needs.
Yeah.
So let's take this a step deeper. Because there's a stage two that I would go. And normally I'm like, okay, if I shift the meaning of this, does the trigger go away? Yes, great, I'm done. No, or it's back, like the pattern is erupting again and I'm back in it again. I need to go deeper. And this would be the mirror. And you've probably heard of the mirror before. It's where someone else is activating uncomfortable feelings in you. But really the mirror is, hey, I do this too. And I'm actually having to look at something that I do to others and it's not feeling so great.
You know, it's really funny you say that because probably about 2 years ago, somebody called me a bully and I'm like, what? Oh, and I really had to look at that. I'm like, wow, do I bully people? I mean, I've been involved in politics. I ran for, you know, a couple offices. And I'm like, gosh, did I do it then? Do I do that? So I have looked at it. I don't think I do. And maybe I do. So because I'm passionate about what I say, and I know she was passionate about what she was doing, and I was not on her passion. Our ideas were very different. And so my passion came out, and maybe I wanted to bully her. So I'm like, oh, whoa. So yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's why you stayed in the conversation, because you didn't want to be mistaken as a bully for speaking your truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe what we need to do is collapse what being a bully means to you versus being in your passion. Are you more introverted or more extroverted?
More extroverted.
Okay. And would you say you're emotional in your processing or more thinking in your processing?
More thinking.
Okay. All right, just checking that that's not fitting yet what I was thinking. So we'll go to the, so the mirror is resonating a bit for you where maybe your desire, kind of, it's like the opposite mirror, like I don't want to be associated as a bully, so I'm going to compromise my needs to take care of this person and not, you know, not fall prey. Yeah. So the mirror is level two, and that if we can start to see, is there some place that I'm deflecting or I'm projecting basically my something I do onto someone else, that would be a mirror. And that next level we'd have to clear if there's anything there. So it sounds like there might be, and that's something to look at. Yeah. And to really start to, in your own definition, go deeper into, is this person passionate or is this person being a bully? And knowing the difference may help you with the story you create and the meaning you give someone who's really like kind of disrupting the flow in a situation.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the third phase. Do you feel finished with the mirror, or do you have anything else you want to ask me about that?
No, I feel finished unless you have a question.
Nope. So the next level is what I call a paradox. And this is where if somebody is in a repeating pattern, it's quite possible the paradox may be at play. And this one is usually the situation that you're triggered by. You feel stuck, but in something that can't move. So oftentimes you feel stuck between two things that feel equally valuable and important. So an example would be in this situation, it's important to me that people don't think I'm a bully, but it's also important to me that I get my need met. And now I'm stuck, like a freeze, because I don't really know what I should do. And we operate from that place of stuckness. So that's one way it can look. Oftentimes the paradox surface when we're constantly triggered by something like money or love, and we feel like we have to give up one of those to get the other. Or another pair, and again, I'm saying this for the bigger picture, not right. just your situation, but another way paradox gets us trapped and we get triggered is we are living into a limitation that we can't break free of. So here's a perfect example of something I was helping someone. It's kind of a benign issue, but I think we can all relate to. Mm-hmm. I was helping somebody who wanted to get a new car, and they were just really triggered by the whole situation because they wanted to get a new car because their lease was up, but they felt like they needed to shrink their car payment. And so they were so in their crap because it's like, I need to fix this lease. I don't know what to do. And the not knowing and the stuckness was they lived in a limitation of, this paradigm won't allow me to have both. Mm-hmm. And so in the paradox, we have to upgrade our belief. It's, I can't have both. It's not one or the other.
So I can be a bully and be passionate too.
Or if we flipped that.
When you were saying that, that was like, oh yeah, that's probably what I go, because I want to be strong, but they're not doing anything. And I feel like I'll be a bully if I get really hard on this situation.
Let me reframe what you said in my way I see it, which is I can be passionate and make a stand for what's important to me and be loved and get my needs met.
You think so?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I feel like we found an opening here. Like there's a huge opportunity to integrate those for you. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think many of us, when people are very passionate and they're like a dog on a bone, we get overwhelmed by that. And it's daunting. And it can feel like bullying when somebody's directing that at you. And we don't have to take that on. It's like, yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad you're passionate. Thank you.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm on to my thing, you know?
Yeah.
But when we get sucked into it and we feel wrong or bad is when our own identity is like wrapped up in them seeing us.
Yeah.
And needing them to like give us validation for what's different. So it's almost like in this particular case, I feel like there's an addiction to needing to be heard to feel right with your world.
Yes, probably.
So what do you think would have to happen for you to not need anybody to get you and to trust your muse, trust your expression so deeply that it became kind of interesting, and you were curious when someone, you know, kind of gets the dog on the bone and you're like, oh, wow, okay, that used to trigger me, but not anymore. What do you think would have to be true for you?
I'm trying to put myself back in that situation to see what would have had to have been true for me then. Because I had conversations with the rest of the people at the mm-hmm. table, and while it disrupted them, it didn't trigger them, and they were all men.
Yes.
So this other person happened to be a woman. I'm a woman. And the other person in my life happens to be a woman who, you know what I'm saying? So perhaps, and I find men to have more relationships with men friends than women friends. Being okay with strong women or passionate women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, wow, look at that passion. Go, girl.
Yeah.
All right. This is awesome. I see you. Okay, hold on. I think I know what the mirror is. What if the mirror was you're uncomfortable with being that passionate without feeling like you're being called a bully?
Probably, yeah.
That would be where the mirror would be for you.
Yeah.
And so the mirror got too painful of like, oh my God, she's like fully owning her bigness right now, but I don't know how to do that without being confused as a bully. And
because she was disrupting. I mean, she was, and everybody was letting her do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it triggered you because A, you're not comfortable doing that. And right. B, it means a bully, which something is not what you want to be. And right. so that would have really taken you out of your power and into your shit.
Yeah.
And feel really, really, really uncomfortable. And so here's what I want for you. And first of all, you know, when you're learning something new and it's a little clunky and you kind of, it's like, you know, you got to go through the steps and it feels like, okay, this is slowing me down. Mm-hmm. This process will be a series of steps that feel like you have to work them slowly until they become so habitual and ingrained that you automatically do it in a nanosecond.
Okay.
The first thing you do is, all right, recognize I'm triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Second, what experience do I want to create for myself right now?
Breathing.
Yeah. So I want to be heard.
Yeah. I want to be heard.
I want to be heard right now.
Yeah.
Is that something that is possible, or do I need to let go of that so I can feel centered and grounded? See, the need, the little girl needs to get heard.
Mm-hmm.
The adult Christy goes, yeah, it's fine. Not going to happen right now. So, and I don't even know if I want to be heard in this particular space.
Yeah.
So I'm going to either disconnect, go to a place I can get my needs met, or choose to be okay with this and not make it mean anything because it's not about me. And get curious. So the next step is, can I get curious or am I going to get triggered? And what path am I willing to step into right now for my greater good?
What would curious look like?
Curious would look like, so this is interesting. We're supposed to be doing a process right now and she's hijacking it. Okay, I wonder what she might be experiencing right now that would cause her to rebel against this exercise. Is she triggered? Is she, does she have something that really needs support right now? Or is this just a habit in this person that probably not my people and I'm just going to cut the energy cords and disconnect right now?
Yeah, I did explore that a little bit and mm-hmm. it made it even worse.
Yeah. So you gave fuel to her fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So again, just going back to the process,
mm-hmm.
asking yourself, what do I need right now? And mm-hmm. what am I capable of right now?
Yeah.
In the beginning, when you're healing triggers, don't go into the fire.
Yeah.
It's okay to go, all right,
yeah,
I'm out. Like this isn't where I want to put my energy right now. And that's called taking care of you.
Okay.
You do not ever have to take care of other people at the expense of your own well-being.
Yeah.
And I think, if you tie into the muse, one of the things that I experience with muses and the muse energy is sometimes the boundaries collapse a little bit.
Yeah.
And so maybe this is a beautiful opportunity for you to become even more conscious of your boundaries and your triggers so that the muse has more power because it doesn't allow its boundaries to collapse.
Yeah, I like that.
So this is how we create a new meaning. When I'm triggered, my muse energy is compromised. Something about me as the muse is getting sucked in, and I need to take a step back and reclaim the power of my muse.
Yeah. And I want to do it in love.
Yes. I like that. Yeah. It's funny because earlier in the process, I wanted to drop the love in, and then I got pulled into something else. And so you know how this works. When we come from love and compassion, nobody has to be wrong, but we can get our needs met and there's no bully energy.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. This is good. So how can you see taking this and feeding it back into you, even being more powerful in the work you do in the world?
No, that's going to take more practice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need some practice. So maybe people listening to this can...
No. Let's not call in practice. No one listening to this gets to put Christy in the position of practicing her triggers. And maybe you could put these three steps on your phone. So if you find yourself getting triggered, you're like, wait, I have this on one of my notes. I'm going to go back and work the process right now. And be curious and compassionate with yourself. Recognize what takes you down and what just is interesting. It's like, oh, okay, I almost hit that pothole.
Yeah.
And just allow it to be a practice that you move into mastery. You know, most of the people that are in my programs, when we bring these kinds of really pivotal mastery, mindset masterpieces up, they're working with it for 3 to 6 months, sometimes even a year before it gets into stone.
Yeah. And I know that this wouldn't even be an issue if it wasn't something that I need for what I'm up to, what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Being muse, you know, I have to be able to do this, be this for people I am being muse for, you know, mm-hmm. being that muse for their own muse. I mean, this is for them as well. I mean, So I do wish to practice this, and I do wish to be in that space where, okay, just being that awareness rather being sucked into it.
So that's the first step of the whole process is decide that you are going to practice and really strengthen your ability to stay in your power and become conscious when you're triggered and work the process. Because again, it's something you'll work on and you'll use over and over and over again. And then it becomes a habit and you'll do it in a nanosecond in your mind.
Right. I look forward to it.
I look forward to it too. Thank you so much for sharing today. And, you know, as always, I always leave my guests with an opportunity. If there's a way that people are like, oh my God, she just changed my life, or I want to understand the muse energy. Do you want to share a place where people can find you, or what?
Sure. Well, I'm working on a huge project. It's part of my nonprofit called Be Creative Zone. But one of the programs that is actually active right now is Be Muse Me Mag, mm-hmm. which is a Facebook page, and we're building the Facebook page. It's a page where I post inspirational postings from our creatives, as well as just people from all around the world that I find. So if you're looking for a little daily inspiration, go to facebook.com/BeMuseMeMag.
I love it.
Your daily dose of inspiration there.
Yeah. And by the way, like having a place to get your creativity stimulated in the morning or like in the afternoon, whenever you get your burst, is such a great resource. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
I know people will love having their muse energy.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So as you're listening in today, I'm wondering, have you gotten triggered? Did you just get a breakthrough and how to manage when you get triggered? I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you're with us in the Amplify Your Success community, it's a great place. Every Saturday, we explore the podcast. Come join the conversation. And while you're there, I'll also share with you all kinds of resources and tips to amplify your impact and your income. So we'll see you next week again with another exciting episode. And thanks again, Christy, for joining me today. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Amplify Your Success podcast with your host, Melanie Benson. Want to get connected to other thought leaders and visionaries transforming the world? Join the free Amplify Your Success community at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. And you can quickly find all the resources from today's episode on Melanie's blog at melaniebenson.com/blog. Just put today's episode number in the search bar. Now choose to get amplified today. See you next week.